just wanted to ask a question. We use this word glory, and we will use it very frequently when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my question is, when we say glory, what are we talking about? We know the temple, and has been said that it is a display. Solomon built the temple, and it was a great display. Glory, we have, it seemed to be, in one aspect, a place. Because we have the God, the Father, saying this, he spoke from the excellent glory. He must to be a place. Here, however, it says we contemplate it, and this is what we have the privilege of doing. We contemplate his glory, and the Lord Jesus can display all that is in the heart of God, and he does display that. And so we can enter into what is in heaven, as it were, and into the Father's heart, because the Son displays that. In chapter 14, he says, have I been so long with you and you don't know? So we get a little bit of what the Father is. But we are going to use this word, glory, as connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, as to what he's displaying, what we have contemplated, chapter 1. What is glory? Because I believe we need, if I never get anything, I ought to get a little bit of what is that glory we speak of.
Well, verse 14 of chapter 1 in John's Gospel answers the specific question you asked. When we're looking at the Lord Jesus, we're seeing the glory of the Son of God, where he is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the glory in display is a display of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and what it's displaying, the glory of grace and the glory of truth. These are moral attributes. They are intrinsic in Christ. He possesses them, but he is them. He is them. And when he came, prior to his coming, I just want to add a comment about the tabernacle and the temple. There was the Shekinah glory that came into the temple when they were in the wilderness. And this was a sign that God was dwelling among his people. Likewise, when the temple was dedicated, as we've already read in 1 Kings 8, this Shekinah glory, which was visible, it was a cloud, it came and entered into the temple, a visible sign that God was dwelling among his people. Now, when the Lord was here, the temple that these men confused him with, that he said would be destroyed, was not Solomon's temple. And I think we all know that, but just to highlight this point, Solomon's temple was destroyed. And the Shekinah glory left that temple. You can read that in Ezekiel's prophecy, how that Shekinah glory literally left and went back to heaven. When they rebuilt the temple in Ezra's day, they enjoyed the Passover. They celebrated the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They were so overjoyed to have the temple, although not in the same display as in Solomon's day. But the Shekinah glory never came to that temple. We don't read of it. And in fact, it never came until the Lord came and entered that temple. The Shekinah glory is him, and he's entering the temple, and he's throwing out the money changers. But prior to his coming, that Shekinah glory was in heaven. Now he comes, and we see that glory. That is God dwelling among his people. We see the glory in representing God the Father, but also that he is the Son of God, and we see it. He's not coming like Moses. He's coming with grace and truth. There's many other aspects of glory, but just to highlight those few.
And if we said a couple of them, we might get in trouble. Yeah. We might get in trouble explaining the fullness of such a word.
Okay.
Yes, there's references, it's a place, and we don't want to get too much into it because we have the tendency to get in trouble. But On one side, it is really a moral character of God. But on the other side, everywhere you read it, it has a common thread. Display of excellency. So that's what we need to keep it in mind. Whether we have heard a voice from the excellent glory, which is true, it relates somehow to a place, but it all have one thread that is common. And that is display of excellency, display of His majesty. Anywhere or any way you want to put some words that will describe excellency and majesty and dignity, you can all put it in this word of glory that is common amongst whenever we read glory. So if I can use that term in simplicity for all of us to understand, it's to display excellency. And that's what glory is as far as the scripture is concerned.
And it is really, that is the thing, because I think morally speaking, when we talk about glory, everybody has an idea what it is, but I think that is the best. It's a display of excellence. And even if you follow the word through the scripture, every time there is an excellency that is displayed, whether it be material, beauty, or intellect, it's always described when there is abundance of it, it is described as glory. I think in Genesis when Laban's son said about Jacob, he have begotten all of that glory from our father. What glory are we talking about? The riches, the material riches, the abundance and the expression of excellency. The high priest wore the garment of glory and beauty. It is, we see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. It is, again, an expression of excellency. So that, but when it comes to God, two kind of gold in the tabernacle, seven kind of gold in the temple. When we come to God, neither these kind of gold will be enough to express the greatness and the glory of the Lord Jesus. That's why when it came, when Jacob made to Joseph a coat, he said a coat of many colors. He didn't tell us 5, 10, 25 million, because his glory and his beauty could not be comprehended or even counted for by man. And that is the greatness of the Lord Jesus, because I want us to keep in mind a couple of things that really struck me. That when the tabernacle was finished and the glory of God filled the tabernacle, you read that in Exodus chapter 40. Moses could not stand, could not approach because of the glory. But God said, build me a place so I could dwell with you, that you could approach me. When the glory of God comes, man could not approach. Go to the temple. The same thing exactly happened. When the temple was finished, and they put the ark in its place, and they pulled the staff out, the glory of the Lord filled the whole place. The priest could not stand, could not approach. So every time the glory of God displayed, man could not approach. And God desired to display His glory so man could approach. So who could display the glory of God where man can approach? Where? Who is the approachable person? None other but the person of the Lord Jesus.
I think that's really, if we want to gain a goal of the exercise this morning, and that's really the goal. In Colossians, the problem was they lost sight of the special uniqueness of who Christ is. And that's why Paul reminds them, I need you to get back to that, to remind you, He is the one in whom the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell bodily. We want to know that this God who is so great, who spoke the worlds into being, has now made it very clear how we can see and appreciate and be worshipers in light of the greatness of His excellencies revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ.